This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes. Gore 2000, Mousavi 2009.
I call on all Americans to unite behind our next president. This is America. Just as we fight hard when the stakes are high, we close ranks and come together when the contest is done.
A resigned Al Gore, a defiant Mir Hussein Mousavi. Two disputed elections, two different outcomes. The world was watching both. One story, many headlines, not going gently into a political good night. Good morning. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, June 23rd. I'm John Hockenberry, and we're exploring how differently the world sees the disputed election in Iran and this whole idea of democracy in the dawn of the 21st century. Also, a divided U.S. Supreme Court gets narrow to dodge some big constitutional issues. And a look at the VA medical system. Is it a model for health care reform or a cautionary tale? All that and everything you need to know this morning. In the headlines, Iran's top electoral body now says election results will stand. The Guardian Council has a new statement out today refusing to annul the lopsided result. This comes even as the council acknowledges widespread irregularities in many areas. Nine are dead in the D.C. area after two commuter trains slammed into each other. Dozens more were injured in yesterday's crash, some seriously. One train was stopped waiting for traffic to clear when another train plowed into it. Investigators are picking through the wreckage and looking into why the accident happened. Later this morning, we're going to get fresh data on home sales, and Wall Street hopes to recover from a rough day yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ both lost more than 3%. The Dow begins at 8339. The NASDAQ starts at 1766, and the S&P starts trading today at 893. An array of voices on Iran this morning. That's our mission. One of them is Kouros Ismaili, an Iranian-American independent journalist and filmmaker who joins us in the studio now. Good morning, Kouros.
Good morning.
So what is the Muslim news audience in the Middle East hearing, you think, about Iran that is different from, say, CNN or the New York Times this morning?
Well, the audience in the Middle East, because of the cultural affinity with Iran and the familiarity of names, I think has a better understanding of internal Iranian politics.
So you get the procedure. You get the blow-by-blow more.
You get the fight amongst the top. You get this Ayatollah and that leader is lobbying with that group in order to sway them to the way they think, instead of, I think, the Western media, where it's mainly, you know, rioters versus government, where so, it's like people want freedom, the government's cracking down.
So more about Ahmadinejad and Khamenei in the Muslim and Middle Eastern media and less about Neda.
Exactly.
All right. Well, tell us your headline this morning. Stay with us, Kouros. More on all of this coming up. And we have something for you to think about this morning and all day here on The Takeaway. Lots of citizen journalists out there. You've been watching the coverage as events unfold in Iran. But we need you to be a citizen editor this morning. Come up with your headline for today's news. Where should the emphasis be? Is it where are the nukes in Iran? Is it freedom for the Iranian people? Is it Obama not doing enough? That you want some other headline altogether, and all of the above, of course, is an acceptable option. Tell us your headline at 877-8-NOT-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, the voices globally on the events unfolding in Iran. Stay with us on The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. We begin with the events unfolding in Iran. The latest this morning, Iran's top electoral body said today it found, quote, no major fraud and will not annul the results of the June 12th election, closing the door to a do-over sought by angry opposition supporters alleging systematic vote rigging. Since the vote, Iranian government officials have repeatedly suggested that a revote is extremely unlikely. However, Tuesday's announcement by Iran's top electoral body, the Guardian Council, was the clearest sign yet. in a ruling about a do-over. Meanwhile, the U.S. administration, those of you learning about this from our radio program or anywhere else, are having to cope with a frustrating lack of reliable information. Continuing now our discussion about the many voices and the many sort of slants and emphases in this story, Khoros Ismaili, Iranian-American independent journalist and filmmaker, has worked for Al Jazeera English for over four years. Good morning.
Good morning.
Once again. And we want to introduce Ramin Talai, a freelance photojournalist who works for The New York Times and Bloomberg, who's just arrived back in the U.S. from Tehran on Sunday from your direct coverage on the streets. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, first of all, I want to play two things for both of you, and let's get a sense of where the emphasis lies, depending on where you're listening to these stories coming out of Iran. If you were sitting in your living room, say, anywhere in the United States and turned on NBC last night, you would have heard Brian Williams say this.
On our broadcast tonight, show of force, security forces crush protesters in the streets of Tehran as a young woman's death now becomes a powerful symbol.
Of course, a reference there by Brian Williams, the nightly news anchor, to Nida, the footage of a woman who gravely injured in protests in Tehran. He describes her death or her injury as a powerful symbol. But this is what you would have heard at about the same time if you were listening to Al Jazeera English.
Hello, I'm Shihab Ratansi in Washington. Here are the main stories brought to you by Al Jazeera. Iran's Revolutionary Guard is threatening to crush any further protests that are deemed illegal in the country. Monday saw a resumption of large demonstrations in Tehran. Witnesses say they heard gunshots and that some were killed. Al Jazeera cannot verify any of those claims.
Okay, two very different beginnings of a broadcast. First of all, Khoros, what do you make of the difference there?
I think the American media has taken a huge step in the past week, actually. They started off reporting on Iran very much from a very confused standpoint of demonstrators fighting against the regime. And by now, I think from what I hear more and more, people are asking, well, actually, what are the demands? Let's get into understanding what the actual demands of the people are, rather than presuming that these are democratic fighting or, freedom fighting people who are violently fighting against an oppressive regime.
So less a search for powerful symbols, as Brian Williams says, and more. So what's the procedure here? What are the demands and how's the outcome going to be set? If I was listening outside of the United States, what kinds of reporting on the procedures in Iran would I be likely to hear?
Outside, you mean in the West?
I mean outside of the West.
Outside of the West?
Yeah.
The procedures, there's a little bit more of a Kremlinology happening in the Arab Muslim world about Iran than it is in the West, because people understand some of the power structures better over there. There's a lot of debate about, which leader right now is fighting which leader, or what are the basic divisions amongst the various heads of various institutions in Iran. So you hear a lot more of that in the Muslim and Arab media than in the West.
So let's take it apart. Is Ayatollah Khamenei presiding over a divided clergy in Iran, and is the outcome of that likely to affect his future as supreme leader?
It is very likely that the power of the supreme leader is going to be changing in the next few years. We don't know. It could become more and more strong and more and more. The power could rise to the top a lot more, or it could actually, as a step towards reform, it could actually dissipate a lot more. This happened on Al Arabiya, which is a Saudi-owned news agency. They had a couple of pieces in which they basically suggested that the power structure on top of Iran is falling apart. That Khamenei is becoming a Khamenei versus Rafsanjani fight, and they're both trying to undermine each other, and one is going to come out top and one is not. And that's a possibility, but that was a very big emphasis that Al Arabiya had, and it caused Al Arabiya offices, I think, to be closed in Tehran.
Interesting. And of course, Rafsanjani, former president of Iran, and very much in the sort of fight here with the clergy in Iran. Ramin, from the streets, as a photographer, and of course reporting for Western media, are you seeing things that your editors back in the West have very little interest in, and how do you assess what Khoros is saying in terms of the people's perception of whether what Ayatollah is up and what Ayatollah is down and the disputes behind the scene, the criminology he talked about?
Right. It's kind of hard to assess all that. I mean, people on the streets don't really get to see it, NBC News, and when you're working there, you don't get to see, or hear what people are saying. You're seeing one side of the conflict or the issue. And it's hard to make all those political judgments about what's happening out there. But I mean, and I think the main difference in terms of the reporting is East versus West. Al Jazeera's, you know, audience is mainly Muslim, you know, Eastern, and you know, NBC, main U.S. Broadcaster. So, you know, I think that's one of the main issues.
Do you have a sense from the streets what the demands of the people are, or is it more a cat and mouse game between tear gas and security forces and crowds of young people?
It's hard as an independent photographer and somebody who tries to, like, you know, be neutral at all times. It's my opinion is that they were just frustrated of the outcome. You know, it was a huge number of people participated, you know, what was it, 85%, and nobody expected that kind of numbers to come out the next day. Either way, you know, for pro-Mousavi or pro-Ahmadinejad. So the reaction was just sort of, nobody knew what's going to happen. I mean, every day was like, now what? And I think that was the thing. I mean, it sort of evolved into, like, every day was like, so what are we going to do? What are we going to see today? And then next day was like the same thing, and the same thing every day. And you know, we are here today, and it's like, again, what's going to happen
tomorrow? What's going to happen today, exactly. Right. Would you describe this as a deep grassroots uprising, or more of a sense of, very short-lived disgruntlement over, you know, some frustrations in the Iranian economy and maybe an inability to express oneself politically?
I think this is going to affect the Iranians and in all levels, you know, for a long time. I don't think this is short-term. And I don't think this is grassroots. I think this is, it's not organized, let's just put it that way. So grassroots maybe, but definitely not organized in a sense of, like, how the revolution came about. You know, I think the revolution was very organized by various groups, and I don't think these are the same kind of people out there. I think there's a sense of frustration, and that's what these people are trying to convey.
Well, we've been asking our listeners all morning, you know, the story of citizen journalists is all over the broadcast media with Twitter and all this amateur video that's everywhere and photographs that I presume compete with you, Ramin.
Right. Yeah.
So we're asking people to be citizen editors. What do they think the headline ought to be? Where do they think the emphasis should be placed on observing the story? What do you think the headline should be, Ramin? And then I'll ask you, Karas.
I don't know. I think the headline should be just it really, you know, what comes out of the, you know, the streets. I mean, you know, and that's where things are happening. And
so the demonstrations are the headline in
your
view.
And also, you know, how, you know, like we talked about, how is this going to affect Iran long term? I don't think this is a short-term issue.
Karas Ismaili, what do you think the headline should be for people who really want to know what's going on and feel free to, you know, express some criminology here? I was fascinated by that.
I think, what is happening in Iran today, from what I understand from last night to today, is that there is the demonstrations have been getting smaller, so the rallies are dying down. People are going back home more and more. And the political establishment, is trying to figure out how to deal with this issue. There have been some incredible interviews on Iranian television. So there's big steps in actually opening up the discussion about the elections
on Iranian television.
Oh, absolutely.
Will Ahmadinejad address the nation?
He has not yet, but the head of parliament gave a very important interview on the state television 2 days ago, in which he criticized the Guardian Council for taking sides in support of Ahmadinejad. He openly criticized Guardian Council.
What about Khamenei? You would think a supreme leader would have a few words to say to the people at a time like this.
Well, he said what he had to say on Friday, and what he said, which basically said, go home, the election stand, caused the huge riots and the deaths on Saturday.
So the next step is really important.
But he's been criticized for, you know, without being named, he's been criticized by many, many members of the Iranian elite.
Well, Karas Ismaili, Iranian-American independent journalist, filmmaker, worked for Al Jazeera English for over 4 years. You will be speaking at a teach-in at New York University's Cantor Film Center tonight called What You Need to Know. The event begins at 6:30 p.m. here in New York and will be broadcast live on the web. You can go to ameja.com to find out more. And Ramin Talai, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.